Open your Bibles to John chapter 9. John chapter 9. Now, this is one of my favorite passages of Scripture. If you'd give me a dollar every time I said that, I could probably go on another vacation. I've also been reading in the Old Testament, back in where God was telling Moses how to build a tabernacle and all the dimensions and things. That's not one of my favorite places, but in John chapter 9 is the miracle of the man who was born blind, the healing of that man. The miracles of Jesus always had several purposes besides just the miracle, in this case the healing. They showed that Jesus was indeed the Son of God, that He had divine, unlimited power. They showed the compassion of Jesus on people as He touched and healed or fed, whatever it was. They encouraged belief in Jesus, and they also showed the stubbornness of unbelief in Jesus. This miracle, the healing of the man born blind, does all of those things. I'm not going to talk about all of them this morning, but it certainly does all those things. So let's read. Well, John chapter 9, the first 15 verses, and then later we'll look at verse 25. And as Jesus passed by, He saw a man which was blind from his birth. And His disciples asked Him, saying, "Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When He had thus spoken, He spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle. And He anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay and said unto him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which is by interpretation sent. He went His way therefore and washed and came seeing. The neighbors therefore, and they which were before had seen him that he was blind, said, "Is not this the man, he that sat and begged?" Some said, "This is he." Others said, "He is like him." But he said, "I am he." Therefore said they unto him, "How were thine eyes opened?" And he answered and said, "A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, 'Go to the pool of Siloam and wash.' And I went and washed, and I received sight." Then said they unto him, "Where is he?" He said, "I know not." They brought him to the Pharisees, him that aforetime was blind, and it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, "He put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed, and do see." After the blind man was healed, he had a message for the Pharisees and the others who were present there that day. And he also has a message for us. And so I want to look at the blind man's message today. First of all, I want us to consider the man. Verse 1 says, Jesus passed by. He saw a man which was blind from his birth. I don't know how old this guy was. He was an adult. Verse 21, his parents say that he is of age. So that means that he's a full-grown man, an adult, probably at least over 30 years old in that culture at that time. But he's been blind his whole life. He was born blind. I tried to think about that. Now, I can't imagine what that would be like. I've had vision my whole life. But I thought about this. He had felt the cheek and the lips of his mother as she embraced him and kissed him, but he'd never seen her face. He had heard her voice, felt her hands as she cared for him, but never had he seen her face. He'd felt the sun. You know how you can go outside and you feel the sun on your skin, on your face or your back or whatever it is, but he'd never seen the sun. That people would probably try to describe it to him, but if you've never had vision, how do you understand what it is? Never seen the sky or the trees or birds or dogs or sheep. He'd heard the birds and the animals, but he'd never seen them, didn't know what they look like. I tried to imagine as a little kid, you know, all the other little kids are running and jumping and playing because they can see the obstacles and know if they're about to run into something. Or he could never do any of that because he couldn't see. There weren't programs and people to help handicapped people in ancient times, so he was just kind of on his own. Couldn't even play hide and seek. He couldn't seek. As a matter of fact, close your eyes for just a minute. Would you do this? Close your eyes real tight. If you need to, cover your hands. Put your eyes hands over your eyes. His whole life, that's all he ever knew. Complete darkness. He would get up, I suppose every day he would get up and he'd get probably had a stick of some kind, a staff of some kind, and he would use that to feel his way, or maybe somebody took him by the arm and helped him and took him to the place by the roadside where he sat every day and he begged. He did that every day. That's the way the handicapped made any kind of contribution to their family. They begged. And so he begged every day, probably went to the same place every day. Each of them had their own spot, if you'd let me say it that way. He probably heard, you know, he could hear if people would come by and drop the coins in his cup or whatever it was that he had, box, or drop it into his hand. He could feel it. He could hear the noise. But he'd never seen a coin, had no idea, you know, if it was a little one or a big one. He could probably hear the voices of people, you know, as they walked by. Some would say words of compassion or sympathy. Maybe they'd say them softly, but he could hear them. Some people probably griped and complained, you know, that he was in the way. Oh, that old blind beggar, I wish he'd get out of the way. Always here every day begging. He heard all that, but he never saw the people who spoke those words. And then one day, he heard a question. Verse 2 says, "And his disciples asked him," that is Jesus, the disciples of Jesus, asked him, saying, "Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" There were a lot of ancient cultures who believed that if bad things were happening to you, it was you'd offended the gods. The Jews believed that if bad things happened to you, that you had committed some sin and God was punishing you for your sin. So listen, he had heard that question a lot of times. He's a grown adult, blind all of his life. He had heard lots of people had asked him that question. Well, what did you do? Or what did your parents do that you were born blind? He probably asked that question of himself, don't you think? Probably if he was any kind of a godly man, or if he knew anything about God, he probably said, "God, what did I do, God? You know, I was born this way. I didn't even have a chance to do something bad, if you'd let me say it that way." So he heard the question. It wasn't new, but he probably listened for the answer because he wanted an answer, I think. What he heard and what happened, I think he certainly did not expect. And that brings us to the miracle. The blind man, don't you think he probably expected to hear condemnation for his sin? He had heard that before. People had condemned, you know, people can do that still today. We do that still today. Sometimes even as Christian people, when something's bad is happening to another Christian, well, you must have done some terrible sin, you know. So he had been condemned before. Maybe he expected to hear condemnation. Maybe he expected to hear a nice little religious sermon, you know. Well, maybe this guy might be one of the traveling preachers or something. He's probably going to preach a sermon. I'll listen for a while. I'll see if he says anything. Maybe he expected to hear some deep philosophical discussion. He heard Jesus answer the question, and this is what he heard, verse 3. Jesus answered, "Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents." That must have made him feel pretty good. "But that the works of God should be made manifest in him." And I wondered what he thought when he heard that. Isn't that an unusual verse in the Bible? He was born blind at the hand of God, so that the works of God could be shown manifest in him. If you were lining up, could you imagine this with me for just a minute? This doesn't happen, but if we were lining up maybe in line before the stork brings us and puts us in our mother's womb, okay? And they ask you, say, "Well, now what do you want to happen? Do you want to be rich? Do you want to be poor? Do you want to be pretty? Do you want to be ugly? We'd all want good. Well, would you like to be blind for most of your life so that God could heal you?" Would anybody say yes? I wondered what he thought when he heard that. He probably didn't even know what does that mean? The works of God can be shown in me? I don't understand that. So I don't know what he thought when he heard that. But in just a minute after he heard that, he felt something wet and sticky on his eyes. Now, I don't know if he heard Jesus spit. Or I don't know if somebody said, you know, what's he doing spitting on the ground? You know, how people are. But pretty soon he felt that wet, sticky stuff on his eyes. Had no idea what it was. He couldn't see. Had no idea who was doing it. He couldn't see. If he could see, he probably would have put his hands up, don't you think? When the hands of Jesus came toward his eyes, don't you think he would have? I would have put my hands up, but he couldn't see. So he just felt that, just felt Jesus do that. And then he heard Jesus say, didn't know who Jesus was. Maybe he knew that it was Jesus, but he didn't know who Jesus was. And he heard Jesus say, go wash in the pool of Siloam. Do you realize, I didn't realize that this until I was studying for this message. There's no promise of healing in that command. Jesus didn't say, go wash in the pool of Siloam and you'll be able to see. Jesus didn't say, I'm going to heal you. I'm going to put this mud on your eyes. And if you'll go wash in the pool of Siloam, you'll be able to see. He just said, go wash in the pool of Siloam. Didn't tell him what he put on his eyes. Nothing. Just go wash in the pool of Siloam. I don't know what made that guy go do that. I really don't. Maybe it was the authority that Jesus spoke with. We know that he spoke with authority. Maybe it was the compassion that he heard in Jesus' voice, and maybe he even felt the compassion of Jesus as Jesus touched his eyes. Maybe it was that thing that the works of God might be shown in him. Maybe he thought about that for a minute. Well, whatever it was, he went to the pool of Siloam and he washed his eyes and he could see. I can't imagine what it feels like to be blind, so I can't imagine what it feels like to be healed of blindness. But don't you think he was excited? Man, for the first time in his lifetime, he could see skies and trees and people and colors, and he could see his mom and dad and all. I mean, he could see. He must have been excited. He must have been happy. He must have been, maybe he was shouting and running around. And I don't know what he was doing, but he had to be excited. He could see. I want you to understand something. The healing was not in the mud. The healing was not in the water of Siloam. The healing was in Jesus Christ. And when he obeyed Jesus Christ, he was healed. You know what? If he had just wiped that stuff off, he wouldn't have been healed. If he had gone to another pool other than Siloam and washed, he wouldn't have been healed. If he had gone home and had whoever was there at his house said, well, I'll get some water and wash my eyes, he wouldn't have been healed. Healing came when he obeyed the command of Jesus, because the power of healing was in Jesus. Well, you know the parallel of this story. You know the teaching, part of the teaching of this miracle, is that we are all afflicted with a disease. Everybody. And that disease is sin. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Only Jesus can forgive our sin. And he gives us, if you'd let me say it this way, he gives us a procedure. Go wash in the pool of Siloam. Now the healing, forgiveness is not in the procedure. Forgiveness is in Jesus, but Romans 10:9-10 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The forgiveness of sin is not in the confession, our confession. Forgiveness of sin is not in believing, our belief. Forgiveness of sin is only in Jesus. But when we obey Jesus, when we confess our sin and believe in him, forgiveness, salvation comes. Now that brings us to the message, the blind man's message. After he could see, I don't know how long it was, but after he could see, he went back to the place where he had been begging. He went back to the place where he had met Jesus. Jesus wasn't there. He wouldn't have recognized him if he saw him. But that's where he went back to. Well, some of the people who were there recognized the blind man. And they began to thought, I think that's him. No, that's not him. Well, it looks like him. Well, it can't be him. He can see. So they, hey, what happened to you? Are you that guy? Yeah, I'm the guy. Well, what happened? So he delivered his first message in verse 11. He answered and said, a man that is called Jesus. I've never seen him. Don't know what he looks like, but I know his name. A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And here's the greatest testimony, one of the greatest testimonies in all the Bible. And I went and washed and I received sight. I did what he told me to do and I can see. Well, they took this guy to the Pharisees, you know, because the Pharisees, they were the religious authority at that time. And if there were any question about anything religious, well, you went to a Pharisee and he straightened you out, was glad to straighten you out. So they took him to the Pharisees and the Pharisees wanted to know. They recognized him. They walked by him every day. This blind man, they walked by him every day. Maybe they dropped a little mite in his cup. Maybe they didn't drop anything. Maybe they were the ones who were critical of him for cluttering up the roadway. But they took him to the Pharisees, and so they wanted to know, well, what happened? How is it that you can see? We know you're blind. We've seen you all these years. Well, here's message number 2, verse 15. Then again, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, he put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed and do see. Well, that particular message prompted a discussion among the Pharisees. Now, of course, you know, they weren't fans of Jesus. And were trying to stop him and criticize him any way they could. And so they had decided that since this happened on the Sabbath day, that Jesus had broken the Sabbath. How in the world could a man claim to be of God and break the Sabbath? Well, he hadn't broken the Sabbath, of course. But in the Pharisees' opinion, he had. And so they sort of stuck out their chest and raised their nose. Well, how can he be a man of God? And you know what they did? They accused Jesus of being a sinner. It's right there in the Bible. So they asked that guy again. They asked that blind man again, what do you think? We know he's a sinner. What do you think? Message number 3, verse 25. And he answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Isn't that a wonderful testimony? A great witness. So simple. This guy had never been, he had no experience in personal evangelism. None whatsoever. Never witnessed anybody in his life, I'm pretty sure. He had memorized no scripture. He couldn't read it, so he couldn't read the scripture. And he had memorized no scripture. The way I know that is because handicapped people were not treated like they are today. They were just put aside. He was not educated. He was not taught. Here's a cup. You go stand right there and you ask for money. That's it. So I know he had memorized no scripture, never been to seminary, had no training, no education of any kind. Yet he delivered one of the greatest witnesses in all of the Bible. I don't know who he is or what. I don't know anything about him. I don't know what you think about Jesus, but this is what I know. I was a sinner bound for eternity in hell, and Jesus Christ forgave my sin and put me on the road to heaven. Now, you can think what you want to about him, but that's what he did for me. And that's what the blind man said. You can think what you want to, Pharisees. I don't care. Whereas I was blind, now I see. Listen, the Pharisees had a chance every day of that man's life to give him vision. And they couldn't do it. The world has had a chance. The schools have had a chance. Society has had a chance. The government has had a chance every day of your life to give you salvation. And they can't do it. Only Jesus saves. That brings us to one more message of the blind man. And this message is for us. The blind man was healed for a purpose. You remember what Jesus said? So that the works of God could be manifest in him. He was healed for a purpose, and that purpose was to honor and to glorify God. Well, Christian, if you're a Christian, you've been saved, and you have been saved for a purpose. And that is to honor and glorify and serve God. Now, bless your heart, I love every one of you, but God didn't save you to sit on the pew. That's the truth now. Don't get mad at me. God didn't save you to go home and close your doors and not say anything to anybody about what God has done for you. Listen to what the Bible says. Ecclesiastes 12:13. If you won't believe me, you don't have to believe me, but you have to believe the Bible. Ecclesiastes 12:13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Fear God and obey God. Keep His commandments. Matthew 4:10, then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Hebrews 9:14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Amen. See, we were saved for a purpose. We were saved to serve. We were healed of our affliction of sin to serve God. Well, how do we serve God? Well, you ask a lot of people that question. You get a lot of different answers. You ask me that question, I'll give you a lot of different answers. Let's try to see what the Bible says. I'm going to go back to Ecclesiastes 12:13, where it says, keep His commandments. Obey God. Pretty simple. How do we obey God? Well, we read His Word and we do what His Bible, we do what the Word of God says. We obey the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit indwells us and the Holy Spirit guides us. And when the Holy Spirit touches us or speaks to us or guides to us or whatever you want to say, we obey the Holy Spirit of God. All of it. All the Bible. Boy, there's some parts in here I like to obey. There's some parts in here, I'm going to be honest with you, I'm not real crazy about. But listen. Ecclesiastes 12:13 doesn't say keep some of His commandments. Keep the ones you like. Keep the ones that are convenient. Keep the ones that won't cause you any problem. It just says keep His commandments. All of them. So to serve God, oh my goodness, we have to obey God. To serve God, we have to live holy lives. I get uncomfortable. I get uncomfortable almost every time I think about this. 1 Peter 1:16 says, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. I don't think I've ever described myself as a holy man. And yet, God said, Jesus said, the Word of God says, be holy. Well, I got to thinking about that. You know what? After the blind man was healed, think about this. After the blind man was healed, he didn't live like a blind man anymore. He could see. So he lived like a sighted person. Well, after we get saved, we can't live like a sinner anymore. We're supposed to live like a saved person. We're supposed to be holy. Well, preacher, I can't be holy. Listen, I'm right there with you. But by the power of God, by the Holy Spirit who indwells every believer, we can do everything God tells us to do. We can be holy because God told us to be holy. And what He tells us to do, He enables us to do. Amen. Finally, to serve God, we've got to tell other people about Jesus. Mark 16:15. He said unto them, Jesus said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's one of the Great Commission scriptures. It's my favorite one because it's the shortest and it's the simplest. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go do it, boys and girls. Just get it done. The blind man I mentioned had no training or experience in personal evangelism. None of that. You may not have any training or experience in personal evangelism. That's okay. Just tell people what Jesus did for you. Just tell people Jesus forgave me of my sins. Just tell people Jesus gives me joy and peace. I can't explain it in all this mess that we live in the world today, but it's okay. I've got peace and I've got joy. Just tell people that, you know what, I'm confident that when I die, no matter how it happens or when it happens or when Jesus returns, I'm going to go to heaven. So I'm okay with all of that. Just tell people what Jesus has done for you. They can't, listen, they can argue philosophy, they can argue doctrine, they can argue, but they can't argue what Jesus has done for you because it's the truth. People need Jesus. I mean, people need Jesus. And we're the only ones who can tell people about Jesus, because nobody else knows about Jesus except His children. Not the truth, just His children. Would you stand with me this morning?